All right. I know something about you. Not because I've been here ministering to you, Chris and I, now for all these months, and not because I got a prophetic word. I wasn't awakened this morning and said I had a word for some of you. I know something about you because I know the human condition. And that human condition is this, that we often are waiting on an answer from God for something. That faith involves waiting on God. That we'll get a word from the Lord, we'll get something placed in our heart, we'll get a vision, if you will, from the Lord about something that we are believing God for, or there's a situation in our life and we begin to petition the Lord for it. And there's an element that almost always goes with it, and that is waiting. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, if we didn't have to wait on the Lord for answers to prayer, it would take very little faith, because just as soon as we asked him, it would happen, and we go, well, there you go. Actually, waiting is almost always involved in getting an answer to prayer or to seeing what God has placed in our heart to come to pass. You might be looking for an open door, an opportunity. It might be a career issue. Even more importantly, it might be a prayer concern for family members, for a wayward child, or a parent you want to see come to Christ, or a mate that isn't serving the Lord. Or maybe there's a vision been placed in your heart for a ministry, something important to do, either in a public way or just in a one-on-one situation or in your home or in your neighborhood. God has answers to prayer for us. And waiting through that and knowing and learning from Abraham how waiting works is going to be an important part for us today. Our key verse is found in Hebrews chapter 11. It's on the back of your bulletin, but you could turn there. And it's verses 11 and 12, and it says that by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who made the promise. So as from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. I love the phrase in there that says, they were enabled. Abraham was enabled. Through faith, through trusting God, through persevering through time, Abraham was enabled. Now, a quick review from last week. We heard about how Abraham was called by God out of Ur to go, to leave things behind and to go into Canaan and to receive what God has for him. He was going to become the father of a great nation. All the world would be blessed through him. And through him, his seed, the Messiah, would be born. And now, through time, Abraham had four encounters with God regarding that promise. It wasn't just one encounter. And by the way, how many of you have ever had multiple encounters with God when there's an issue of need or something in your life? There's something you're believing God for, something you're pressing towards, something that you have a burden for, we say. And God gives you multiple encounters, maybe at an altar, maybe in a prayer time, maybe through somebody speaking to you. Multiple encounters come which help us along in our faith. Abraham's first encounter came when God called him to leave Ur, which we saw last week, and that was found in chapter 12. Quickly, this is kind of review, but it is a part of today's message, that first encounter. God says to Abraham, he gives him a word, and he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham, I'm sure, was energized. He heard the voice of God. And remember, this was not far into the experience of the people of Israel, who they had many prophets and they had the word of God. This was early. There was very little for him to say. This is just like what happened to somebody else. This was God speaking to him. It must have been so energizing, so powerful. And he must have gone to his wife and said, I've heard the voice of God. He spoke to me. We're going to have a child. We're going to have a nation follow after us. It's going to be amazing. And then he did not hear another word for 10 years. A decade is a long time to go without a word. You start to say to yourself, maybe I really didn't hear from God. Maybe that was my imagination. It might have been the lamb that Sarah made last night might not have been cooked right. I thought I heard from God, but 10 years passed. And by the way, those 10 years were not easy years. Those 10 years were difficult years. During those 10 years, they endured the first famine ever recorded in the Bible. The famine was so severe, it drove them from where they had settled in Canaan, and they had to go to Egypt, of all places. And while there, he falls into great fear for his life because of his wife. Apparently, Sarah must have been quite a number, because on more than one occasion, there were influential people who wanted to scoop her up. And so he says to her, tell everybody you're my sister. And so they're in Egypt, and the king is kind of wanting to start something with Sarah. And she says, well, Abraham's my brother, and everything looks, you know, awful. And then it's found out about that, and they get expelled from Egypt because of it. When they back home, when they're home, they have a huge conflict with Lot about where they're going to have grazing space for their flocks. And so Abraham has to take a less preferable place for him to have his flocks. Also, war breaks out, and his nephew Lot is carried away by the king of Elam and taken away as prisoners. And Abraham has to, he goes and rescues him in a story that would come right out of a movie with only 318 men and a few other volunteers. He goes and defeats this mighty king, and he gets Lot back. This has been a rough 10 years. And some of you, while you're waiting on God, you say, I've been waiting on God for this wonderful miracle, and the whole time has been rough. It's been really difficult. I'm in a famine, or we're going through war. I've got battles and attacks going on in my life. And God, when he comes to him 10 years later with his second word, here is the thing he says to Abraham. And what a timely word it was, because he says to Abraham, we're in Genesis 15:1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. Some of you today, one of the things God is going to do is he's going to say to you, do not be afraid. You're looking forward to something down the line, and in the interim, you're going through difficulties, but don't worry. I'm your shield. I'm your reward. Hang in there. These trials and stresses mount in our lives. And Abraham, as he's hearing this good word from God, he mentions the elephant in the room. By the way, we don't have a baby. And 10 years have gone by. Now Abraham is 85 and Sarah is 75. And the biological clock is not just ticking. The alarm rang a long time ago. And he's like, Lord, you know, thank you for being my shield, my reward, but we haven't got a baby. What's going on here is something that many of us struggle with. Abraham's sight was contradicting his faith. His sight was contradicting his faith, because he got up every day, went to the mirror, looked at himself and said, oh man, you are not a young guy. Looked at Sarah, didn't tell her the same. He was not going to mention that, but his sight was contradicting what God had said, because God had said, I'm going to treat her like a young lady, and she's going to have a baby. I'm going to treat you like a young man, and you're going to have children. Maybe your sight is contradicting your faith today. And I want you today to ask God to open your eyes to see something that you cannot see by natural sight. Abraham, in his understanding, was beginning to look at the realities. You know, sometimes we say things like that. Well, we got to deal with our present realities. So he said to the Lord, well, given the present reality, given the fact that I haven't had a baby, my chief of staff, Eliezer, is going to be all set to become my heir. He's not even out of my family. He's not even from he's not mine. He's just a guy I hired, but he's the chief of staff. He's number one. He's going to be my heir. And listen, I love what God said to Abraham. He said, stop looking at what you see. Stop looking at Eliezer. Stop looking at all this stuff. Because in verse 2, he says, let's go on to verse 5. We'll skip verse 2. He says, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your error. Isn't that something? He says, listen, what you see is not what's going to happen. Stop believing your lying eyes. Start believing what I told you. And there's a great statement made about Abraham in verse 6, because he pulled himself together here, and it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Later, Hebrews repeats that verse for us. Abraham believed the Lord. Abraham must have been buoyed by that. Oh, all this waiting's been worth it. God is going to answer prayer. And you would think that all the questions and all the concerns and all these things that he had just gone through and just hearing from God would have strengthened him to the point that he would now be straight as an arrow. Nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. But absolutely, that was not what Abraham did, because human weakness still had an involvement in his life. And by the way, we're going to deal with human weakness our whole lives. I told you last week, these patriarchs, let's not look at them as perfect. They're human. They are humans who God worked through powerfully. And Abraham heard part of what God said. Have you ever listened to part of what God said? Because God said, don't worry, that son is going to come from your body. Because then Sarah had an idea. Sarah said to him in chapter 16, verse number 1, it says, Sarah had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. This whole thing, first of all, how many could agree in a family, this has just created a mess I cannot believe? This is a mess. You know, you wish you could go back in time and say to him, stop! Whatever you're thinking, don't do this. But think of the assumptions that were made. First of all, the assumption was, God said this baby's going to come from my body, so Sarah's unnecessary. We make assumptions sometimes that God didn't, that what God said was only partly true, so I'm going to take the part that I get and that I can control, and I'm going to do it. We take control, and we wreck everything. We can make a mess. Sarah also was making an assumption that God was keeping her from having children. Not true, because we know the end of the spoiler alert. She has a baby, okay? In case you just walked in, you've never seen the movie, she has a baby. Another assumption we make is that somehow God needs my help. And I have the solution. And the situation here quickly devolves. It gets bad quick. Hagar despises Sarah. Sarah has been really mean to Hagar. Sarah blames Abraham for the whole mess. This is your fault, she says to him. And he never says, no, it wasn't. He's just like, whatever, dear, you know. Sarah mistreats Hagar, and pregnant Hagar, bearing Abraham's son, runs away into the desert. Now, there's a great thing. Have your the woman who's bearing your child runs away into the desert, where she'll probably die of thirst and hunger. This should have been a time for Abraham to stand tall and hold the line. When Sarah said, let's do this, he said, no, God has spoken. But we all make that mistake. Sometimes we don't hold the line. Sometimes we don't do what we should have done. And there are prices to pay, but I want you to hear something. It was not the end of the story. And if you've made mistakes on the way, if you have pulled one of these things, you've done one of these things, you've taken these kind of missteps, you've made some decisions that you say later, oh, what was I doing? Here's the good news. We said it before, I'll tell you again. God is not just the God of a second chance. He's the God of a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, whatever it takes to make his will come to be in your life. God is still at work. And it wasn't over for Sarah and Abraham. There was still an... I love that song that we sing. Even when I can't see him is working. Even when I can't when I can't feel him, his working. We depend on what we see. We depend on what we feel, but God is working. Because do you know what happened? For the next 14 years, it was crickets. God didn't speak to Abraham. I mean, 10 years of trouble, that was one thing. But now, 14 years, not a word from the Lord. And during that time, can you imagine the self-condemnation that Abraham and Sarah were dealing with? The conversations in the tent at night. Abraham, have you heard anything from the Lord? No, not a word. This is all our fault. We start to beat ourselves up. We start to say, you know what, if God would have just chosen somebody else wouldn't have made this mistake. He's surely not going to speak again. The year after year goes by. You mark a little anniversary. This is the day he spoke to me first. Haven't heard from him. We're now up to 24 years, haven't heard a word from God. How many of you know that we want to put God on our timetable? We want things to be quick. It reminds me of a guy calls up American Airlines and says to them, say, how long does it take to fly to from Portland to London? And the lady turns to her computer and she starts to tap. She says, just a minute, sir. He goes, thanks, and hung up. Some of you are going to go home at lunch today. You'll get that. Oh, that was that. We want things to be in just a minute. When it doesn't take just a minute, things are on God's timetable. A third word came from God after that 14-year gap. So we had a 10-year time, then we had a 14-year time. 24 years into this story, when Abraham was 99 years old, God appears to him. God appears to him. We're in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and he said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, that phrase is important. I would love to take time to talk about that. You've been blaming yourself. Walk with me and be blameless. Some of you need that word today, and if that's all you get, just think of that. You may be blaming yourself for going back to an old addiction, to an old relationship, for giving up on something. You may be blaming yourself, but God says, I am the Lord. I'm appearing before you today. Walk with me and be blameless. Wouldn't you love to walk blameless? You can. You can walk blameless today. Moving on, though, he says, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. He says, this thing that I told you 24 years ago is going to happen. Now look at verse 19 and 21. He says, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. Now, this is coming into sharp. We're starting to get a focus on it. It's starting to get sharp. He goes, not just it's going to happen someday. He says, in a year. And here's the name you're going to give him. And when we start to draw close to seeing what God is going to do, things start coming into focus. And for some of you today, things are going to start coming into focus. It's been blurry in the past. It was just an idea in the past, but now it's starting to become a reality. He says, in a year, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him Isaac. And he says, I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. Now, a very short time later, a fourth revelation comes to Abraham. This time, it's a visitation of Jesus. It doesn't use the name Jesus, but Jesus appears to him in physical form, and they meet together, Jesus with two angels. They meet Abraham under the tree. How many of you, you remember that story? I'm not going to tell you all the story, but I'll tell you this. They sit down with Jesus. He reiterates his promise that a son is going to be born. Sarah overhears this conversation, is in her tent laughing, and Jesus says, why is your wife laughing? Jesus knows exactly what's in our heart. And he repeats, by the time I come back this time next year, you're going to be holding that baby in your arms. And the Lord kept his word. You can turn now to Genesis 21, verse 1 through 6. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abram in his old age at the very time God promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore to him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And by the way, Isaac means laugh with me. What a great story. We could just pray and go home. But I think we need to really drive this into our hearts today. And I want to share with you today five stands to take when you think your hope has evaporated. When you think there is no hope, when you think that thing you have believed for is not going to occur, I want to give you five stands to take. And some of you will say, okay, this one out of the five, that's the one that's going to help me. Some of you might be two or three. You probably don't need all five. And we're going to spend a lot of time on all five, but here are five things that just echoed in my heart as I was looking at these scriptures. The first one is this. I will remember. This is a statement of faith. I will remember that barriers do not mean God has abandoned me. Barriers or opposition are not an indication of being in the will of God. As a matter of fact, opposition may be a confirmation you're in the will of God. So often we walk away and say, well, God must not be in it. Look at all the opposition I'm having. It should be easy if God is in it. The attacks that Abraham and Sarah went through, especially those first 10 years, were real, not imagined. It was real that there was a famine. It was real that their nephew Lot was having problems with where they're going to graze everything. It was real that there was a war that carried everybody off. All those things were real. Yet that was not an indicator that God didn't want Abraham to become a great father of a nation. They were simply realities. We see that God said, I am your shield and your reward. Keep on. Today, some of us need to forget the idea that just because we're going through difficulties, just because I'm going through battles, just because there are hurdles, does not mean that God has not got me on this path. You're on the right track. Number two. It is not brazen or impertinent to keep coming to God to remind him of the promise that I am clinging to. Because every time God spoke to Abraham, he always brought it up. We're going to be needing a baby here. I understand how this works. I can't become a great nation if I don't have any children. We're going to need a baby. And over a 24-year period, he kept telling him. Let us boldly take our needs to the Lord, and let's not get tired of doing so. Unless God has said, quit asking, don't quit asking. As a matter of fact, Jesus encouraged this. In Luke 18, he said, always pray and do not give up. In verse 7, he said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Rhetorical question, no, he will not. Number three, I will not, and this is one we're going to sit on this one for a minute. I will not settle for a human solution when God offers a divine intervention. I'm not going to settle for what I cobble together. I'm not going to settle for what my mind thinks is okay, good enough. I'm not going to stop at the gate of victory. I'm not going to let victory be swallowed up by my decisions to go a different direction. I will not settle for a human solution. Trusting God in that time of waiting will result in a miracle. Human solutions end up in frustration and loss. I had a lady once tell me, we were at a Bible study. I've got a group around, and who's got some answers to prayer they'd like to share today? And a lady said, oh, I had an answer to prayer. Oh, great, tell us about it. She says, we needed groceries, we needed clothes for the kids, it was back to school, we had to get supplies, and we didn't have any money. She said, I just cried out to God and asked him what to do, there was no answer, and then the answer came in the mail, I had been approved for a new credit card. I'm stunned, you know, I'm just stunned. I couldn't in front of a whole bunch of people say, that's stupid. That's a human solution. Let's go into debt. Let's not be caught up in human solutions. Instead, let's believe God for a miracle, that He is the provider, that He is the healer, that He is the one who gives a word of wisdom when I need wisdom. He can make a baby come out of a woman's womb who should have died, that womb should have died years ago. He can bring about a miracle. Let us not give in to human intervention. God does not need our help. He needs willing people to say, I am believing you. Today, if you're caught up, you've already made a human choice. And you say, boy, did I get us off the track. You know, we're really in the weeds now. It's not too late. Today, if you're considering a human idea, if it's your own solution, remember what Solomon said. He said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And we forget the next verse sometime. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. You might be at a crucial crossroad right now, where you say, man, I was just about to give up, to quit, to throw in the towel, to take my own direction, to call the attorney for the divorce. I was about to take out the loan. I was about to quit my job. I was about to end my ministry. I was about to drop out of school. I was about to give up. I was going to resign. Whatever you thought was going to bring the answer, I want you to hear something. Don't give up on God. Don't lean on human understanding. Acknowledge Him. Remember, it may take time. Are you 25 years into it yet? Probably not. Somebody might say, yeah, I am. Then go 30. Don't give up on God, because He has not forgotten His promises. All His words, you can trust Him. It ends by saying, fear Him. Realize He is to be feared in this. I'm going to trust God and see what only He can do. Number four is something that just came to me as I was studying. I was looking over this and I thought, can this be? But number four is this. I will grow closer to God through this journey. To make that your stand and say, this is not wasted time. This is time to get closer to God. And here are the things that, this is the thing that jumped out at me that I could not believe. I never saw this before. Maybe you knew it and you're going to go, I don't know where you've been, Todd, but I knew this forever. But here it is. The first time that Abram heard from God back in Ur, he heard a voice. And some people can say, you're hearing voices. You ever heard, you know, I don't know. But he heard a voice. The second time, 10 years later, he saw a vision. The third time, 14 years after that, he had a visitation bodily of God. He saw God. The fourth time, just a few months later, he and Jesus had barbecue. Look it up. Abraham sees Jesus and the angels there, and he goes, hey, if you got the time, I'm going to go kill some livestock. We'll cook them up. We'll eat right here. And Jesus says, I'll be right under the tree. Go ahead. And they make the food. They come and have a great time together. Now, here's the thing. Every time he heard from God, they were getting closer, closer, and closer. The first time it was a voice. The second time it was a vision. The third time it was a bodily representation. The fourth time they had communion. And they were so close on that fourth time, as they're sitting there eating, Jesus turns over to, looks at the angels and says, hey, what do you think? Should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? Yeah, I think I will. See that city? I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham felt so close to Jesus, he said, how about if we don't do that? How about if you find 50 people there? Remember that? And because they were so close, Abraham felt the boldness to beg mercy for that city. All I'm telling you is, folks, is that the journey is not wasted if you'll keep drawing closer and closer to God through it. God became more clear in Abraham's experience, more recognizable, more tangible, to the point that he could reach out and literally touch him and hand him a leg of lamb. Don't drift from God during your journey of faith, draw close to Him. You have a great opportunity. The fifth statement, and I can't believe how fast I preached today. This is like a miracle in itself. I want you to write this down today. Pastor was short today. It was a miracle. We'll get down to the sizzler before we know it. This fifth one is powerful too. I will sow seeds of expectation on the way. I will sow seeds of expectation on the way. How are you going to spend those 24 years? Robert and Mary Moffat were missionaries long time ago when missionaries were kind of a new thing. And they went to Africa, to what's now called Botswana. And they started their mission there, and they began to preach the word. They wanted people saved. Year one went by, nobody got saved. Year two went by, nobody got saved. 3, 4, 5 years went by, nobody got saved. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They went 10 years, not a single convert. Nobody even said, hey, this is making a lot of sense. I think maybe I'm about to be a Christian. Nobody was getting saved. And then back home, there's the missionary society that sent them, and they were looking for reports, and they sent them a letter finally and said, you've been there 10 years. We want you to come home. It's just not, you know, we got donors, people sent you there, and we can't keep you there. 10 years, no fruit. You're going to have to come home. And Mary and her husband sent home word, please, just give us a little more time. Give us some more time. We love these people. So they continued to preach. After that 10-year anniversary, Mary got a letter from somebody back home in England and said, is there anything we'd like to send you? We'd like to send you a gift to help you along in your ministry. And do you know what Mary asked for? She said, send us a communion set so that we can share communion with our converts. The letter was sent home to England. The lady in England bought the communion set and sent it to them there in Botswana. And the day that it arrived, they had 6 converts to serve communion to. The years that went on, Mary eventually passed away. Robert stayed on in the ministry. Between the two of them, they stayed there 49 years. While they were there, he was able to finish a translation of the entire Bible into their language, teach them how to read it, establish churches across the country, and become what missiologists will tell you is one of the greatest missionary efforts the world has ever seen. Do you know what happened? I think Mary sowed a seed of faith when she wrote her friend at home and said, send us a communion set because these people are going to need to be taking communion. And God saw that seed that was planted. Do you know what I'd say to Abraham and Sarah today if they've said to me, Todd, we're believing God for this? I'd say, you better run down to Walmart and buy yourself some Pampers. Because God is about to bring you a baby and you don't want to be ill-prepared. And I want to ask you today, what seeds of expectation are you sowing for the answer of prayer? You've been believing God. You've been looking for an answer from Him. Can you start sowing some seeds? If you're saying, well, God wants me to go in the ministry, then sow some seeds and start training for the ministry. If you want to believe God for a home group in your home, then go out and buy some folding chairs because you're going to need more room to sit people down. If you're going to believe God that He's going to put you into an opportunity in your neighborhood to reach people in your neighborhood for the gospel, then plant a barbecue. Because when you start to sow the seeds of faith, you start to say, I have an expectation that God is going to do this. He's going to act. I'm not trying to make a prosperity gospel here, but you want to see seeds of blessing in your life financially, start to believe God by giving your tithes and offerings. You start sowing seeds of expectation, God will answer your prayer. John Kilpatrick in 1993 was pastoring a church in Pensacola, Florida, and his church started praying for revival, and he heard a word from God. And you know what God's word to him was? He said, build a children's wing with a nursery. And John said to the Lord, oh, this church doesn't have any kids. Why would we do that? He He said, you want to have kids in this church, build a nursery. And so John went to his church and said, we need to build a nursery and a children's wing on this church. And there was like, oh, pastor, you know. No, God's spoken. They built that. And within a few years, one of the greatest revivals to ever hit America, the Brownsville Revival, broke out. And John Kilpatrick will tell you, it was the day we decided to sow a seed of expectation. Today, I want to see you sow some seeds of expectation. To say, Lord, this is not just a concept. It's not just an idea. It's not just a wish. I'm not wishing upon a star. You know, I'm not hoping Jiminy Cricket comes and tells me to wish. Or, you know, I am believing in the great I am, the one whose arm is not shortened, the one who keeps his promises, the one who can bring to pass what man says is impossible, that took an old man like Abraham and strengthened him that he could have children, and an old lady like Sarah, who at 89 years old could get pregnant at 90, give birth. And by the way, Abraham, after Sarah passed away, he had children all over the place. He got married again, had more kids. That strength continued on. God will bring answers to prayer for you. How many today would say, I am right in the middle of needing an answer to prayer. I have been believing God. I have a vision. I have a purpose from God. I have something I'm believing him for. It could be on the gamut of things. And I have been waiting, and I've been, frankly, I've been wondering, is this wait worth it? Have I been believing in error? Have I just been kind of, is this a pipe dream? And God is saying, I have not given up on you. Don't give up on him. Would you bow your heads today? How many people today, this is going to be really short, how many people today say, this spoke to me. God has just spoken to me, and it's time for me to rekindle my trust, my faith in the promise of God. It's time for me to start sowing seeds of expectation. It's time for me to start drawing closer to him, not drifting from him. I'm not going to let the troubles that I'm going through, the trials that have been on the way, deter me. I am going to press in and believe God for the miracle that is in my heart right now. If that's you, stand up in your seat right now. And if you really believe it, you're not going to sit there and consider it a long time. You're going to say, I'm up. Praise God. And where you're seated right now, where you're standing right now, I want people around you, look, everybody, every head up, everybody looking around, okay, you can go. I want you to get up and go to people who are standing right now. Val was right on when she took us down this direction this morning. She already started this, but we're going to complete it now. I want you to go and find somebody. I want you to lay hands on them. If you know how to pray, you need to be going with somebody today. Don't let anybody stand in faith alone. Go back there, find somebody. Maybe you don't even know them. It's okay. And here's what I'd like you to do. Settle in where you can look at them in the face if you can. You know, kind of turn toward each other. And unless it's one of those, I still see some people standing alone. If you're standing alone, hold up your hand because we don't want you standing alone. Anybody standing alone? Okay, maybe not. All right, here's what I want you to do. Unless it's some one of these things where it's got to be unspoken, you just, I can't say. I want you, if you can, to tell the people what you're trusting God for today. If it's the salvation of a loved one, if it's a healing in your body, if it's a financial miracle, if it's an open door for ministry, whatever it is, I want you to, if you can, tell people. If not, just say, it's unspoken, okay? But if you can, I want you to pray with them. I want you to ask, talk about it for just a second. No time for history. This is just brief, okay? Now you have given people an opportunity to pray with understanding. They can pray with a little bit of knowledge. They can agree with you. And I want you that are there praying with people, I want you to take spiritual authority with them today. That I am going to stand. I'm going to not be deferred. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get all that God has, all right? Let's pray right now. I want to hear prayer going up. Let's lift it up in this place right now. In the name of Jesus, believers are standing here together today, holding each other up in prayer. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. We do not trust in what our eyes are telling us, what our senses are telling us. We are believing what the Word of God has said to us today. And so we believe for healing. We believe for financial miracles. We believe for open doors for ministry. We believe for freedom. freedom from addictions and freedom from people, for people who are enslaved in things that they want free from. We believe you today, Lord, for the power of God to begin to work. We look for those who have been, those unsaved relatives and friends that we are praying for salvation to come to their lives. We believe today, as we sang that song earlier, we are believing for the unbelievable. We're believing for the miracles. We're believing for the things we can't see. And Lord, I pray that you'll bolster our faith and give us a new hope that rises within us, something that cannot be shaken, that we will stand firm, even if it takes years, we will stand firm. And Lord, for those today that say, I have gone off in human endeavor, I have tried to take over and do this on my own, we repent of it today in the name of Jesus, and we return to the faith of trusting in you. Father, you can take the mess we've made and you can make that way straight again. Nothing is impossible for God. And so today, we trust in you. We look to you. We look to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing is too hard for God. Now, right in that little, don't break up the group, but I want you all just to, right where you're at, everybody in this room, just lift up your hands and begin to say, I praise God because he is on the throne and he has never changed and his promises have never changed. They are still yes in Jesus. Father, I thank you today. The power of God now working in our lives. All of these things are yes in you. Some of these things are going to happen soon. Some will be in a while. Some might be years away, but we still say, God, you are at work. My faith is established in you today. We are going forward with you. Lord, let there be a new revelation of your word to us today. Reassure us today that we are on the right path. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Let's praise him today with a hand clap. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, send up a shout. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Savior. Thank you, Lord God.